Welcome to the Sarah and T Podcast. I'm Sarah Bradford.
And I'm Tim Cafferty. I own Outer Banks Blue and Sandbridge Blue, managing over 400 vacation rentals at the beach.
And I used to own Winter Park Lodging Company and Steamboat Lodging Company, managing over 150 vacation rentals in Colorado. But now I just fill my time with pickleball and podcasting.
Yeah, but you know more about this business than most people ever learn, so you're still stuck with me.
So for the next 30 minutes or so, we invite you to join us as we dig into topics, tips, and advice from our long history in this crazy business.
And we're going to have some fun while we do it.
We're back and better than ever. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Tim.
Actually, I'm not better than ever. I have COVID, but I'm fine. So we're doing this, of course, remotely. Nobody worry. And as you saw on the title of the podcast today, we have none other than Jason Sprinkle of Key Data. Thanks for joining us, Jason.
Good morning, guys. Excited to be here. Good to be back, I should say.
Do you just have the best last name? I mean, it's like a happy thing for me to say right there, Sprinkle.
It makes me happy. My wife's a pediatrician and the kids love it. They call her Dr. Sprinkles, and so worked out good for us.
Right. But just remember, Jason Sprinkle has an E in it, not an
That's
I.
Right. Spend my life explaining that.
And you have been with us before. If
yes,
you
sir.
Have not heard episode 88, you need to go back to January 11th, 2021 and listen to that episode. It was fantastic. It actually was the most listened to podcast in the history of Sarah and T. No pressure here today, Jason.
That's pretty big pressure, Tim.
And you and I, as this is being dropped on Monday, are actually in Nashville, Tennessee at the DARM conference. And we want to talk about that conference. And I'm sure you're going to drop some data on us there and tell us what's going on. But just generally, since we've been together a year and a half ago, what kind of trends have you seen on the data side? We know we've been busy. But what kind of things has everybody enjoyed over the past 18 months?
It's been a ride, I guess, as everybody knows. I feel like out of the frying pan, kind of into the celebration and back into the frying pan is how I view it. We had an amazing journey with COVID, trying to figure out together how to survive. And then we had this kind of euphoric ride where I think all of us saw what felt like just really incredible numbers for vacation rental companies pretty much universally. It's always unique, a real peak, if you will. And then I feel like kind of just as soon as we got settled and started to celebrate and understood just how good things were, we got hit in the face with this economic tidal wave that we're still, I think, in the middle of trying to figure out and trying to react to. So quite the ride. And in summary, it's been lots to talk about.
And don't you think, too, that we've been hit with regulations? So we're euphoric and then everybody wants to punch us in the face.
You got so much to celebrate and be thankful for what's happened within the industry and how we've grown and the way we've come together. And yet that is constantly looming over, like either us or our friends or the people we care about. And it's nothing to look away from, right? It's this constant threat against us. And I mean, you know, as well as anybody, but when it hits, like, it is consuming, right? It threatens everything you've worked for.
Indeed. Well, we're going to do rapid fire later with you, Jason, but I almost have like a rapid fire of questions for you because I want to know what you're seeing in the data. Can I ask you a few of them? Then we'll give Tim a chance to breathe.
Absolutely.
Okay. Start the clock. Just kidding. Okay. Are you seeing any effect of COVID anymore in vacation rental bookings, fear of bookings, or even the upside of COVID where people want to get away?
I am not seeing the kind of trends that we saw that really show that the vestiges of COVID are still hanging on. So like some examples of kind of the tail end of COVID, right, were a strong preference for houses over condos or really adjusted booking windows or length of stays. Like most everything that I think of is like the real COVID-based trends in the data, I think have returned effectively to normal. And I think we're being driven more by economic factors now than we are by COVID. Certainly, if you look towards like Europe, you can see them coming out of COVID kind of in an explosive way. But we've been through that here in the States. There's still like the signs of rebounding in the urban markets. you know, there were some impacts kind of on the supply side. But no, I think the shortest answer is, are the COVID trends effectively gone for the most part from the data? The answer is yes.
Okay. And then speaking of international, anecdotally, every single person I feel like I know in life has gone to Europe this summer. Do you think that Americans finally being able to go and travel internationally is hurting our summers in the resort towns?
Yes. The question is obviously to what extent. The kind of the macro view that I have of it is we benefited deeply without question from all of those impacts of COVID, kind of including the lack of European travel or just international travel, the shutdown of cruises, and then obviously the biggest one being just the unwillingness to stay in hotels, right? We really saw kind of this double bounce, if you will, in terms of our demand and a willingness to stay in vacation rentals, particularly homes and particularly in drive-to markets. And the big question that we've all been trying to answer together with the data is like, how much of that will stick, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be very hard to say that as people start to return to hotels and urban markets and European travel and cruises, that there's not some impact to us because we were certainly benefiting from that anomaly in travel. But I think the real opportunity that we're still answering and we'll answer together over time is how much of the new guests that were introduced to vacation rentals stuck with us, because we're still up from 2019, right? We're all kind of in this, whoa, things are turning and they're coming down. But like, it's very important in my view to keep the perspective of where we are. We're down from the highs, but boy, we're still up from 2019 and things are still good historically speaking. And I think it's too early to tell, but the short answer is I think we're keeping a good portion, if you try to read between the lines on the data, of those new travelers that came into our space.
That's a great point. And pullover moment would be figure out strategies in your own vacation rental company, how you're going to lure those new customers back to you, right? How do you get them to be loyal? Because they're barely loyal at this point.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, we know from the data that the OTAs, Airbnb in particular, but Vrbo also, you know, they gained market share both in the percentage of revenue and in the percentage of bookings from the professionals. But when you look through the data, I don't think they were taking market share away from us. I think what's clear is they were seeing the frontline demand, people coming to the space for the first time. You know, they're less likely to find us. They find the big Airbnb who mm-hmm. kind of owns the funnel, and they come in there. And so I think you're dead on, Sarah. We've got all these new people that have stayed with us once, maybe twice, but it's up to us to figure out if we can get them to stay in the shoulder season, if we can get them to rebook for next year, right? And the good news is I think we've got a great history as an industry, and we're getting better and better every day. And so I got my money on the team, so to speak, in our ability to keep them.
Well, I just read an article that the global vacation rental market is now valued at $74 billion, and it's supposed to grow to $107 billion, so up 32% by 2028, so that everybody thinks they're going to stick around. My last rapid-fire question for you on this is gas prices. This summer and into the winter, that drive-to market, almost it just became more expensive to drive to the Outer Banks than it does to fly to Colorado. What do you think about that? How are gas prices going to affect, and how is it affecting our rates we're seeing? Because I'm hearing across the country right now, everyone's down for the most part since last summer.
I mean, you're right on the data point. The question is, how do we read in between it? Occupancy is down. And I think the question I get often is, which piece of the surrounding impacting kind of factors is the one that's really driving it? Is it air travel's not inexpensive these days? Your previous question about people going back to Europe, cruises, hotels, urban markets, gas prices. I'd be lying if I said I had a better view than anybody else. The economists seem to be debating this economy more than ever in my lifetime. So which portion of it is related to gas? I don't know. But the reality that we see from our business perspectives is occupancy is down. Regardless of what's causing it, kind of what's the best way to handle it? How should we be reacting, I think, is the better place to put our energy. I'm excited by the prospect that it's not continuing to go up and it seems to be moving down a little bit. I think that gives us all hope. I have not heard on the ground that people are seeing a real slowdown in their drive to market traveler versus their air traveler, and I haven't really seen that in the data. I think it's a factor like everybody else, but I don't think it's the primary factor.
And just to clarify, you're happy to see it's going down, meaning gas prices, not occupancy.
Not occupancy. Absolutely. Okay.
All right, Jason, when you were with us last, we developed this concept where we talked about needle movers and those key things we need to be. Of course, we explained to the younger generation what needles were and the whole concept of needle moving. We had to get that out of the way. But you identified, we did a deep dive on some of that stuff. You identified some key things for operators to look for. What are the key needle movers for us now?
Great point. I still talk of needle movers often. It still drives my business. It's just a way to try for me to keep my eyes on the main thing, right? I got a partner who always says, keep the main thing. And I think that's critical for all of us. My view right now is really trying to prepare ourselves to be adaptable to whatever this economy does. You can watch TV all day long and listen to economist podcasts all day long, and there is a million different opinions about what's going to happen with this economy, including whether we're in a recession or not. My view is I have no idea, certainly not any better than these economists, which way it's going to go. And in terms of the impact to our industry, I think the really acute needle mover, if you will, to keep an eye on relates to supply. There are lots of reasons, if you look at this thing from a macroeconomic impact to our industry, to believe that supply is likely to go up, even though it's been going up and it's starting to kind of teeter back down. And it's principally based around the fact that, like, when economy starts to hit people's pocketbooks, when you look at disposable income of people who own second homes, there's a point at which people start to say to themselves, maybe we need to rent our home, right? Maybe we could use a little extra home income from that second home. Maybe we should, you know, not go stay three times this summer, and we should allow some more guests to come in. We could use a little bit more income, whether that's putting our home on the program for the first time or just allowing it to rent. So I think the supply in terms of new homes and the supply in terms of available weeks is likely to go up from the people who decide that it would benefit their pocketbook because of what's happening with the economy to rent.
When you talk about supply, not to interrupt there, but I think it's an important point. What have you seen with regard to supply? Because in my market, we had a shrinking of supply. We had people actually move to the area and take properties off the market. And so what have you seen? And give us just an inkling of the kind of database you're drawing from at Key Data. How many properties are you looking at to get your trends?
Yeah, so we're looking at two data sets. Really, we've got deep critical mass in all the leisure markets from direct relationships with all the pros out there, and thankful for all our listeners who participate. But we also, from a supply standpoint, understand that it's important to see past just our customer base. So we scrape Airbnb and VRBO in some markets for Booking.com daily so that we have an immediate pulse on what's happening in supply across the U.S. and in particular markets. And there's no question that at the macro level, supply is going up. You can see VRBO reporting on their supply going up, but we are seeing it pull back a little bit, right? A lot of that's a return to the urban markets. To your point, Tim, there was no doubt that kind of as we went through COVID and people started to put their homes on the market, like we saw homes turning over, and a lot of us in our core leisure markets felt like supply was shrinking, even though it, you know, at a macro level, it was growing. You got to take everything back home and see what's happening in your market.
Yeah. Okay, so supply growing, shrinking. What are the other needle movers you're seeing?
In my view, keeping an eye on that. I'm a big believer that it's not the Darwin said some version of it, but it's not the strongest that survive. It's the most adaptable. And so whether the supply grows because people start to put inventory on the market, or whether the supply shrinks because the return on investment for vacation rental homes is not quite what it used to be, you got to be prepared for either. And I think the adaptable pros out there will say, I don't care what happens to the market, like from an economic standpoint. I don't care whether supply goes up or supply goes down. What I care about is that our team is poised and we're watching it and we're ready to react and we're going to seize the opportunity, right? So how are you prepared based on what it does? First of all, you're watching it closely, right? You're paying attention to the data, right? If the supply continues to go up because of that first point that we talked about, well, that it's an opportunity for you to grow your business, invest in business development. If you go back and talk to the pros that were here last time we got squeezed in the pocketbook by the economy, they'll tell you they dramatically grew their business. They leaned into pro business development and they went on and grew their business. And there's two ways to make more money. We talk about it all the time. One is grow your business and one is make more money off of your existing business. If supply turns the other direction in your market and it starts to shrink, well, then it's an opportunity to make more money off of your existing inventory, right? If you've got that home that people are in love with, maybe slow down on those rate reductions that we're all starting to lean into. If you look at 2023, it's clear that across the country in these core leisure markets, pros are backing way off their rate. They've heard us over the last couple of months. They felt that shrinking demand in their occupancy. And so they've set pretty low rates for next summer to try to be cautious. It's a good idea if supply continues to grow because you've got a whole lot more competition for that seven bedroom possibly. But if supply in your market continues to shrink, like Tim was saying in his market he saw, well, then you've got goods that somebody needs more because there's less of them. And so don't be so quick to pull back on your rates. Like think about maybe we can still kind of stick where we are, or stay well above 2019 for next summer. Or maybe it's a little too early to pull back. So I think it's always hard to guess where we're headed with the data. It's real easy to see where we've been. I think the point is there are times as a professional manager, really for any business, where you can't coast. You know, pros never have a chance to coast. But there's times where things are pretty steady. And it's okay to focus on other initiatives and not necessarily watch the data. But when COVID hit and things were wacky, we had to pay really close attention so we could adapt. And I think this economy hitting us is one of those times where, unfortunately, you got to lean up a little bit, you got to invest and put some heart back into it, and you got to pay really close attention so you can adapt appropriately.
That's a really good point. We got so used to flying high the past 2 years on high rates, always booked. Couldn't believe it. Wow, we're so busy. Sometimes it's not like that, and it doesn't mean the sky is falling.
That's right.
Okay, a few more questions I have. I read your blog on the Key Data website. Lots of good info there. There was a report on July 4th. Just a quick summary I got from that is that 30A, Myrtle Beach, Gulf Shores did really well. OBX was down a little in occupancy, but rate was up. Galveston struggled. All over the map with the Colorado, Utah, Montana market, and cities have come back, but varied. I feel like the whole thing is varied. What are you seeing specifically on areas that are doing well and areas that are struggling, and why do you think that is?
So I think what's unique about that time frame and why you saw so much like what's going on here, some are up, some are down, is that's right when it started to turn, right? So like as the momentum is shifting in demand, like if you look now and you look back at the U.S. trends for leisure markets, like occupancy is down. It's kind of down universally, right? But as it just started to happen and we were looking in that kind of July timeframe, like it was hitting some markets a little bit earlier than others, depending upon your booking window, right? If your booking window is really long and you're already filled up for the summer, back when things were good, doesn't hit you as much. If your booking window is a little bit shorter and you were still booking your July 4th window when things had started to turn, then you certainly were feeling it a little bit more. But I mean, macro trends are becoming more and more clear now. Like occupancy is down. Rates are still pretty far up. You see them coming down pretty dramatically for 2023. So it's like we're trying to eke what we can out of the rest of this summer. And I think we collectively reacted a little bit late, not quite having our fingers on the dial like we should have because we were riding that pretty steady trend, right? And then we woke up and it was shifting around. And that economy kind of hit us fast. I think that it's not so much that there was inconsistency across the markets. I think it was just the timing of when we took that slice and looked at it. It's a little bit more clear now that we've got it in our rearview mirror.
And the last two measures I think about a lot are minimum night stay and booking window. Is that getting back to normal, or are you seeing the minimum night stay falling?
No, it's getting back to normal is the easiest way to think of. I've seen a pretty steady trend in our data from like when COVID first hit, and then a gradual return to what I think of as 2019 normalcy. we've continued to see that. You know, we saw some bumps as kind of COVID tried to rear its head back, and you and I have had it in the last 2 months. You've got it now. So it's not gone, but it's gone from the data for the most part. And so we've seen those trends return back to normal. I still know that there's a lot of talk out there from the Airbnbs of the world about how we've got this new nomadic lifestyle where we travel from city to city and it's affecting length of stays and booking windows dramatically. Like, that's not what we see in the data for the pros that we work with in the core leisure markets. We've got a normalcy back to our patterns, if you will.
Okay, as we mentioned, the DARM conference going on in Nashville, and there'll be several hundred people there, data freaks and geeks from all over coming into town. What's the showstopper you're going to deliver to them? What message do you have for those folks that they're going to go, better write that one down?
And my showstopper is what we talked about. So you guys are getting it first. It's adaptability. Things are coming at you fast. We've had some moments to breathe. Let's lean back in. Let's work together. Let's talk to each other. John Suzuki, one of my great friends, is going to be there and talking about heart. Like, this community, if it doesn't have anything else, it's got heart, and it's got the ability to reach out to somebody next to you and help you through it. I suspect things are going to happen in different ways than we can predict. I think if we keep communicating, if we lean up a little bit and pay attention, like, we can definitely be poised to take great advantage of it. There's another quote, and I can't remember the author, but it stuck with me, about, you know, you can pass a lot of cars when it's raining. You can't do it when it's so sunny out there. And I think that it is really just another way of saying, like, when things get sticky or when they get tough, like, it's a great time to win, right? It's a great time for your business to shine. And so whether you grow your inventory or whether you maximize the rates a little bit better than everybody else, like, I think it's going to be a good year for those that are paying attention.
You just led me to the next question. I've been pondering this a long time, and you're the perfect person to answer this. There are a lot of companies out there that are more than willing to help us with that whole yield management thing. And some of us have been reluctant on that. So in your view, can a company effectively do yield management without that professional help? And if so, how?
I think that the tools are getting better every day, is my view of it. You know, we started out a few years ago and we said pricing tools are out there, but we don't think they're ready. And as they got better and better, we said they're out there, but you need to keep your eyes on the data. Like, you need to be responsible. Don't jump in the back of the Tesla. I continue to believe that those tools are growing and getting better, but I also share the view that you need to pay attention to where the car is going if you want to win. There's too many curves coming at us, and you need to react too quickly to just be asleep at the wheel, literally.
I like that. Don't get in the back of the Tesla. All right. My last question. If you could buy a vacation rental anywhere in the United States based on the data you look at of rate, occupancy, the average stays, all the things where you're like, that is a sweet vacation rental market, which one and why would you pick?
The honest answer, and I'll give you an answer because I don't want to cheat my way out of it, is it's changing, and it's changing really frequently because of two factors. Obviously, the amount of money that a rental will produce is changing pretty dramatically. Like, we went through these really incredible numbers that we wouldn't have expected 2 years ago, and we're getting twice as much out of rentals that we didn't really change. And now that's coming back a little bit towards normal. So that's moving. The other piece that's moving, which is the other piece of the equation, is the price of the houses. They went through the roof. Now they're peeling back pretty quickly. So the way to choose the best rental property is the ratio between those two. So if you're going to go buy one, you better look at where they both are at the moment you're buying, not what you heard from somebody 6 months ago, just kind of like stocks. But if I had to pick one today, the latest I've heard is there's some incredible properties with some just nutty ratios just west of kind of Austin out in that hill country where you're just getting some phenomenal ROIs. I hadn't looked at them in a few weeks, but last I heard, those were hiding in the back of my mind if I had a little cash.
I heard that too from a very reliable source. So that's interesting. And your report about, I think, 4th of July or another something on your blog said Fredericksburg, Texas.
That's,
I think,
right.
That's,
yeah,
that area. So that's,
it's
interesting.
Hot market. We probably just messed it up, and in 2 weeks that ROI won't be there. There'll be,
yeah,
another.
Right. We are just changing the market as we speak.
Second appearance on the podcast, and we deprived you of a joy we try to give all of our guests. And that's the opportunity to play our inane little game called Rapid Fire. We fire questions at you to get to know you a little better, and you can answer in a few words or more wordy if you like. So somebody start a clock somewhere. You're down there, Santa Rosa Beach. It's August. Everybody's thoughts starting to turn to football. Florida State guy, how are the Noles going to do this year?
Oh, I wouldn't bet any money on them, but I'll give them all my heart. I'm hoping for them, Tim. I got a daughter starting at NC State in 2 weeks, so I'm splitting my loyalty here this year, and I'm rooting for both of them. It's going to be a tough game to watch them play each other.
You just got funding. You just got $5 million infiltration of cash into Key Data. What's the number one thing you're going to do with that?
Super smart data people who can solve really hard problems for us. We're hiring. We're trying to hire the brightest minds in the business so that we can solve the toughest problems, so that you don't have to think about them. You just get better insights from us.
I'm going to go back to my old standards here. How about a skill that you do not currently possess that you wish you had?
Oh, telling people what they need to hear instead of what they want to hear. I'm not the best straight talker, Tim. I have a deep-seated need to just be liked and loved like so many people. I wish I had a better ability, because I know it's the right answer and I've been working on it for 20 years and I admire the people who have it. So I try to surround myself with them. But man, it's still on my wish list, this fair answer.
So really what he wants to tell us is the vacation rental market's going to hell in a handbasket, but he doesn't have the guts to tell us.
I tell you the truth on the data, but it's hard for me to tell you the tough stuff if you're next to me.
Jason, what's your greatest fear?
Not being loved, I guess, if you want the deep answer.
Oh, probably why you have that other problem. Okay,
good. Yeah. I see what happened there.
All right. Speaking of lists, how about something on your bucket list that you haven't done yet?
Man, I've been incredibly unfortunate in life. I guess my bucket list today is really narrow. Like I at the risk of choking up, I got a daughter, like I said, headed off to college, and I got 7 more nights to tuck her in. And like my bucket list is limited to this 7 nights. Sorry.
Okay, my last question for Rapid Fire, Jason, is when you built 360 Blue, you also built Glad to Have You, now with Key Data. What's your biggest regret you would go back and fix?
Probably wouldn't have sold 360 when we sold it. You know, there were some great things that came out of it that allowed me to go and kind of lean into this business. But we had such a special thing that I felt like I was lucky enough to be a part of. It's always tricky looking in the rearview mirror, so I try not to have regrets, but I miss being a part of it, truth be told.
Okay, I got to ask you 2 more. I've asked everybody the same ones. You're scanning the channels. You go by that movie that you've seen 15 times, but you got to stop and watch it one more time. What's that movie?
Stripes.
With Bill Murray?
Oh, it's so funny, sir.
Okay. And when you're driving around and you're in the car by yourself, or maybe as you are today, alone in the home, what's that tune you're going to turn up? A jam Jason loves to listen to.
Oh, some Bahamas reggae. Puts me in the best mood ever.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
All right, so as usual, you mean nothing except our undying appreciation for playing our inane little game. So great stuff here today, Sarah. Hope you're feeling better soon. And Jason, as always, great to see you and looking forward to more great data from you, the king of data.
Yeah, just excited to see you at the show, Tim. Excited to see everybody up there. And I know everybody says it, but you two are juggernauts in our space and you put your heart and soul into it. And on behalf of myself and everybody else, just want to say thanks for what y'all do.
Well, thank you, Jason, for being with us. We appreciate it. You always have good insights. And I think there were about 5 pullover moments today. What do you think, Tim?
At least. So there he is, former attorney. He started 360 Blue. Glad to have you, and current CEO of Key Data Dashboard. Jason Sprinkle with us today. Thanks for being here. Look forward to seeing you guys on the next episode. So long, everybody.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.